But if I step out of the way, God may say something that's important. And when we look at his scriptures, it's always important, his words, because these words are speaking to us. And Lord, I pray that that's what it is. When we read even a simple verse, that it's not simple. It's life-changing, life-altering, vision-casting, an opportunity for us to see greater things, things that you have planned and in store for us. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to pick back up in Colossians. And last week I went and we started in Colossians 2:21-23. And just remembering that verse, Colossians 21-23 in chapter 2. Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concerns things which perish with the using, according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom in self-imposed religion, false humility and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. It's kind of one of those things that if we don't get our flesh under control, no matter what all kinds of things we try to follow, and a lot of what this is speaking towards is that of a lot of things that man puts into what they want you to do, and speaking particularly of church or religious organizations, whatever that may be, we have a lot of them out there, and a lot of them with a certain type of mandates and things to do and not do. I think a lot of times we hear why people don't really want to come to Christ is sometimes because they hear, I hear so much of what I can't do, I don't even want to try to start. And it's probably, you know what? They're being honest. I'd rather have them to be honest than to poo-hoo and, you know, fluff it up a little bit. Because I think if we are truly following what God has told us to do, and I've had many instances when people, I shared something or whatever I'm a part of, and they go, well, I don't know if I want religion. And I go, I don't want religion either. I said, that's not what it's all about. I said, I want a relationship, and that's what my time with Jesus Christ is. It's a relationship. It's my time with God is a relationship. And it's, yes, my Father in heaven has told me things to stray away from and to begin to change my life, but it was individual, and it's things that let the Holy Spirit work in you to help you get these things out of your life. But as you're getting these things out of your life, God still loves you. And so I encourage sometimes, don't go to a religion. Go to Jesus. But I just want to talk about Jesus. His care, his love, his patience, his dying for me, his dying for you. But I think in sometimes back, some individuals and a lot of individuals have come across some religious thing that has turned them off because it's like there's no way I can have a battle over my flesh. There's no way I can meet what that requirement is. And none of us can do that by only that of the strength of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to get on a track of conversations with them and to begin to share things with them. I think to set them at ease that I'm not going to hit them over the head with all the mandates, but to sit there and talk to them and try to be an encourager. That's to those outside the body of Christ. And that should be for sure one of the preambles for sure within the body of Christ, that we love one another, encourage one another, have patience with one another, and realize that God is still working on them like he's working on me, like he's working on you, but yet we're the body of Christ, amen? We know there's things out there that they'll tell you, and I shared just, you know, briefly last week about, you know, hair, the lady's hair has to be up in a bun. They have to wear a dress below their knees. They can't wear makeup. We can't do this. We can't do that. We can't dance. Don't go to the movie houses. There's some organizational things out there that in a church service, instrumentation, that's a no. That's the devil. You know, it just needs to be a cappella, you know, no instruments. And there's others says, we got to have instruments. And could you imagine God up there just shaking his head? saying, why are you people doing all of these things? Number one, talks about trumpets and all of that sounding in heaven. Well, why do you raise your hands? No, just stay there and just be stiff. Don't do nothing. Raise your hands. Why do we raise our hands? It's a form of surrendering to him. I was explained that one time, or I heard it somewhere. It's like, what do you do when somebody comes up behind you or is in front of you with a gun saying, stick them up? What do? Go, no. No, 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 I'm not going to stick them up. You go like that. It's an act of submission. We praise and we worship. It's an act of submission. My God. Surrendering ourselves to him, surrendering our wills to him, surrendering our flesh to him, surrendering what? Everything of us to him. I am so much happier to when I talk to someone or even you folks that are here today that all I do, you know what I do when I pray for you? I just turn you over to God anyway. I said, Lord, this person's being this way. I don't understand. Lord, they're all yours. Take care of them. Not really, but pretty close. Because we just say, Lord, just deal with them and help them where they're at. Encourage them, strengthen them, do whatever, Lord, but heal them where they're at. We pray for one another. And what we had talked last week about, people need to see a difference between the way a follower of Christ lives and how the people in the world live. And until they do that, they're not going to want to come into the world of Christ. They'll just stay where they're at. Because you know why? They'll have more fun. Because not under legalisms. Many of us have various vices that we've come out of. We share those with those people. Drinking or, you know, drinking and alcohol. That's the same thing, I guess. Drinking water, that's not the same. Alcohol, you know, could be cigarettes. It could be, you know, overeating. It could be pornography. It could be anything out there that the flesh desires and finds acceptance that the flesh loves. It talks about where we've got to beat our flesh into submission. You know, you've got to take this flesh. You've got to put it under submission. And it's hard at first, but you know, when you begin to take a step at a time by the strength of the Holy Spirit in you, and you see some accomplishments, I don't know about you, but I feel accomplished. Not prideful, not that I did it, but because I prayed to my Lord, and by the Holy Spirit, he's given me the strength to begin to cut off some of these things that I know need to be cut off. And you all know what you've got in your life that needs to be cut off. Because you know what? You've not arrived. I know there's things I've got the pruning out just trying to cut through it, you know. I got to get rid of this stuff. And if nothing else, Lord, prune me, you know. But look at the things and be honest with yourself. And realize you need to change. Even today in this church, each and every one of you sitting out there, you still need to change. I, as a pastor, I need to change. I've got to look at things differently. I've got to study things differently. I've got to respond differently. And I don't always do the right thing at the right time with the right vocabulary. Huh? Things slip. The old nature still jumps out at times. Yeah, you know, this mind, as much as you try to control, and the tongue, you know, things come out that you wish they hadn't. Oh, Lord. I feel like it's like those games out there where I land on something that says, go to jail. Or it's chutes and ladders. I just climb there. I hit this ladder. Oh, now it's a slide. Some of these old games of kids. Lord, I was making my way good. Look at all the stuff in the past that I got through. And this day I do move steps, three steps forward, one, two, three, good. You know, six, one, two, three, four, five, six, boo. It's like, what? Am I ever going to get home to that area in the top where it says home? I will one day when the Lord calls me home. I'll get there when it's his time. But I think sometimes it's those things that he just says, Tim, you're not there yet, my friend. You're sliding back. The old nature's knocked its way out again. As quick as I am to beat myself up, I quickly lay that down and say, forgive me, Father. Lord, by the Holy Spirit, give me the strength to still deal with this to get it past me. I think some of those things that happens, I'm saying God does this to us, but I think he does do this to the point, or allows it to where you get an understanding of, you're not yet a saint, Tim. You might be a pastor, but you're not a saint. Oh, yes, Lord, I know. I know, Lord, but just like that song says, he never stops. He never stops. God wants you to say that. Tim, just say, I'll never stop. I'll never stop trying and persevering and desiring to have all that you have for me. And although I take a hiccup here and there, and I probably didn't please you, Lord, I know you still love me. Many times we have on our earthly side where people that we displease, but you know what? When you go and talk to them, they still love you. And it's like, how could you do that? But it's the love that's there. And God is like that. So we want to look at these areas about how we can get into this thing of being controlled by rituals that have no bearing on our salvation. They have no bearing on our relationship with Christ, God, the Holy Spirit. They have no relation of getting us into heaven. All it does, these rituals and laws and regulations, all that does, it allows you to come in that church facility's front door and sit in a pew, and now you think you've arrived. Many times what they teach and preach and focus on has nothing to help you clean up your life. They'll tell you, don't do it. And it could be the same churches that don't want much to do with the Holy Spirit, because that's the only way you're going to get convicted is through the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit working in your life to move these things out. A lot of times they get into it and they say, you need to clean that up out of your system. You need to do something about your drinking, your womanizing, your whatever that goes against the things of God. No, you need to go to him to get those things out of you. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. There's many organizations and 12 steps and things, and if that's what you need, praise God, go for it. But I'm going to tell you, there's one place I know you can go, and it's a one step. Jesus. One step, the three in one. Go to God, go to Jesus, go to the Holy Spirit. It's one step. And be realistic, be honest with them, and be honest with yourself, and realize you need to change. We had shared a little bit in Galatians, when it says in Galatians 2:15-16, we who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified or declared righteous by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. The importance of this is that God has reached down to human beings and he wants our response. If we look at all of the man-made religion, it only focuses on generally human effort. When you do things under human effort, you humanly fail, and you humanly beat yourself up. And then the devil has your lunch. You step away from all that God had and available to you because you thought it had to do with myself taking care of cleaning myself up. But he wants our response. If we look at the man-made religion, it'll focus on human effort. Our following and a follower of Christ puts the focus on the work of Christ. And we said this many times through that of the cross. Do not lose sight of the cross of Calvary. All the other things after that are fantastic, you know. But we've got to look at where it started. Well, with that of salvation and the turning back to what God's plans were of salvation and taking care of the sins and reconciliation and our righteousness and all these things. As believers, we need to put aside our sinful desires. It's not a byproduct of our new life. Our salvations doesn't depend on our discipline. It does not depend upon our rule-keeping. But it's because of the power of what Jesus has accomplished on the cross. So how are we to determine if we're following man-made religions? Here's a few things to just put in the back of your thoughts. Does it stress man-made rules rather than speaking to the grace of God? We all have benefited by the grace of God. We have all benefited by the mercy of God. None of us should have any entrance into heaven the way things are going for us. But because of his love, his grace, his mercy, his care for us. But do we go into a situation to where they say, you know, we've been created by God and he's a loving God, but here's the things that you've got to do. Secondly, does it have a critical spirit toward others? Or is the discipline done in a loving and an encouraging way? My time of coming to Christ and receiving Jesus Christ as my Lord, I never felt at all that I was beaten down or that I was chastised by God. None of that, because God is a God of love. Does it rely on certain formulas, special visions, or do they rely on God's word? How many, if you go to a church, they actually open up this and read the scriptures and say, let's read along now together? Or do they have a side pamphlet and said, here, you can close your Bible, keep it off to the side. Here's the pamphlet that we got for you today. Look at this and follow this. Does it elevate self-righteous, needing to keep the rules, or does it elevate Jesus? Jesus! Jesus! There's just something about that name. Oh, he's my master, and he's my savior. Oh, Jesus. There's just something about that name. Amen. And realization is this, kings and kingdoms shall all pass away. But there's something about that name. Rules and regulations will all pass away. But there's something about heaven. That relationship with him. Does it neglect Christ, the universal church, or do they claim about being an elite group? We got some elite groups out there that go under the guise of Christianity. You got to join them. It's a secret type society, or it's this or that, whatever the case is. We need to get together and bind ourselves together and go out into the desert and just do our own thing and don't let nobody else in. Sounds like an elite group. Sounds like a group that wants to segregate itself and then they want to control you. We need to stay clear of any religion or group of individuals that focuses on the leader of their group over focusing on the God of creation, Jesus the Son, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Many of these religious organizations and some of these, can't think of what I want to call it, cults, is that they focus no longer on God. And it's interesting, and I've not studied it deeply and all, but you're just reading some things. But some of these cults, the leaders really started out in a foundational understanding and belief with that of Christ and Jesus. Some came out of like mainline good churches for the most part. But somewhere along the line, they got corrupted within themselves because they began to take on the power within themselves, thinking that I can control these people and I can talk to them and we can go and sell all your things and let's go here or there and allow me to direct your life. Allow me to choose who you marry. 1 Timothy 4:3. I think we might have done that maybe in the past, but 1 Timothy 4:3, 1 Timothy 4, I'm going to just start here, 4:1. Now the Spirit expressly says, explicitly, now the Spirit expressly or explicitly says, who is saying it? The Spirit expresses that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. We'll stop there for just a minute. Good thing about it, it says what? Some will depart, not all. Amen? Don't be in the some. Be in the ones that's not, okay? Some will depart, but not all. Giving heed to the deceiving spirits, okay? And it goes on in 3, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Those who believe, and you got to do something. You got to know the truth. For God is truth. The Holy Spirit comes and speaks and nothing but the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified. That word we can find there is talked about of being set apart by the word of God and prayer. So we find that every creature God has made for man's health and nourishment is good for that purpose, and it is to be received with thanksgiving. We need to pray over the food, pray for the sanctification of it, but it is all good, amen? We can go into some areas, and there's limitations on certain types of meats that you eat. Maybe there's some that don't eat any kind of meat. Maybe there's certain ones that you can't eat pork, and that was the Jewish ways of back in the days and even to this day. I find it interesting that I've had acquaintances with Gentiles that were Christians, but yet they will not eat pork because it goes back to this law back in the Old Testament with the Jewish, and they're following it today in their culture, but that's their culture, and that's what they've been taught, and that's where they're still at. The thing about it is there's some people that are stuck in the old way and following the old when it's been updated with that of Jesus Christ and the sanctification of cleansings of things. My goodness, just go back through Leviticus and all of those Old Testaments of books and things of going through sanctifications of preparing for the cleansing, you know, of sins and what to eat, what not to eat. You know, if a woman was on her period, you know, couldn't even go into cities or go out. I mean, it was like restrictions, blood, it's just like tied down. But that was back then. And then when Jesus came on the scene, and as we as Christians, we as followers of him, and what God has made, it is all good. Amen? Look around everything out here. It is all good. Now, if God speaks to you by the Holy Spirit, that says maybe to refrain from it for whatever purpose, what are you going to do? Obey. But as a church, are we going to come out with a mandate? And our bylaws or our legal ritual things of saying, don't eat this, 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 this. And oh, by the way, we're going to call for a fast on this day, this day, this day, this day. Those are all ritualistic and all mandated. And generally, if it's done by man, it's not going to accomplish anything to fulfill what God wants to be accomplished. We all have to leave it out there to say this. If God, through the Holy Spirit, speaks to you that to fast, fast. Sometimes people come into a church and they go, God has spoke to me about a fast, and he says this church needs to be on a fast. I would tell that person then, you probably better pray that God puts that upon everybody in this church so they will do that. I'm not going to mandate it and say, okay, on this week we're all going to fast. Why is that? Man's rule. Well, we might lose a little weight and cleanse our system, you know, of impurities. Probably be some benefit there. But it may not accomplish what that individual is thinking is going to accomplish because it was just that to that person. I had a guy one time come in many years back, new to the area, and seemed like an interesting guy. But he felt in his spirit that we should go down and stand somewhere off of the interstate at the state line of Illinois and Wisconsin and pray for everybody coming across the line and to rebuke drugs and bad people. And I go, wow. Well, I think we ought to talk about it. I said, you know what? Sounds like God has spoke to you. You probably ought to go do that. Somehow we have to look at those things. And if somebody comes and they prophesy these things and they think to themselves as that of a prophet, you better make sure that they are of that of a prophet, because there's a prophecy and people will come and share something over the word of the church. Thus saith the Lord. If you're standing by that person, quick, get at least 20 feet away, because there could be a lightning bolt coming down at a split second.
Thus saith the Lord, do this.
And the Lord didn't have anything to do with it. But in their spirituality and their thing of what they thought spiritually was, they're speaking for the Lord. Be very careful when you sit there and say, the Lord has told me to tell you this. Now, if he has, what are you going to do? You're going to share it. But if it's something that's just within your spirit and in a prayer and you got kind of really into it and you sense that, check it out and make sure that it's spirit-led by that of the right spirit. Because the devil is going to speak to you in the spiritual times as well. Because he knows what trips your trigger. The devil can copy some of those things and says, hey, this comes from God. It does not. It comes from the devil. You got to be wise. You got to be understanding. You got to be close to him individually with your spirit connected to him on a one-way circuit and not on a party line to where all the other spirits jump into it. All I want you to do is be obedient. And if the Lord has told you to do something, you do it. Amen. But to think that even myself, if the Lord would speak to me and say, the church needs to do this, I would probably say, well, Lord, I pray right now before I bring it to the body of the church that you will somehow, some way impress upon the individual spirit of each one that you're beginning to speak to them and moving some of that into them. So that when I stand before them and say that, they'll go, you know what? The Lord just told me that this week, that this or something similar. Could be exact. It could be something similar. But I believe that my God is a God of all power, all knowing, all ability, that he would be able to impress upon me, Tim, this is the direction the church needs to go. And I go, oh, Lord, I don't know. I'm going to tell the people, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to go to the interstate. And we're going to grab hands and go across. It's going to take, we don't have a big enough church right now, but stand hand in hand across the interstate to block the violence out, you know? Because it's like, what, 8 lanes across coming into Janesville? That's a long span. Never discount what God tells you, but just make sure it's God and not man. It's not a regulation. It's not a stipulation of that body, but it's that of God. And I get some people that are pretty out there with, well, God has spoke to me and he's saying this, but I know in my own spirit that I know when God speaks to this guy. Nobody would walk away from your career with 4 kids still in school because God said to do it. God said I'd be the pastor of this church. Only God spoke that to me. I had no understanding of it. So I like to tell people that I listen for the voice of God. Am I 100% accurate? Am I boasting myself and being prideful? No, I'm just saying that you've got to know your rightful place with that of God. Because there's a lot of people out there that want to mumbo jumble these things and they want to come into a body and you go, what are you here for? We're here to correct the pastors in the area. Well, okay, that's good. Well, who do you sit under? Nobody. I'm my own Lone Ranger. I'm doing the Lord's work. Well, you might as well just leave here now. Can I go in there and think I've heard from God? Yes. Will he forgive me? Yes. But many times I go through some checks and balances, you know. Okay, Lord, are you sure? And you know how he has spoken to me? His word. All of a sudden he's impressed something upon me. And then one of my days in reading scripture, it's a response, a reply. It's him affirming it with his written word. And that's where we've got to go for the checks and balances. Because God knows this. And he knows it's in there. And when you get that affirmation, confirmation from God through the scripture and all of these things, and then you walk it out, guess what happens? He, by his love and grace, he will sometimes he will send somebody that prophesies. And they'll call you up. And they will say, I don't know how to tell you this. It's crazy. I don't know what. And he stammers and he stims. I don't know. And all of a sudden he just comes out and says, Tim, I don't know how to tell you this, but God's going to ask you to do something really strange. Why, you know what? He may even ask you to quit your job. to go into ministry. Confirmation that Tim had already done 45 days before or whatever, maybe 60 days. That's the way my God works with me. How does he work with you? I would think probably should pretty well work close, similar, because he's the same God, you know, how he's going to affirm things and make sure you're in that right place. Times that you ask God, and when you're in a church to where you allow the Holy Spirit to flow, you may question it, but you know what? As a loving God, he'll say, sit and watch, pay attention, you've asked for it. It's like, okay. But what he has called clean, let no man say it's not. What he has done, don't let an organization or a religion say it's not that. Follow him and be with him and know him and grow with him. In this 1 Timothy, the Great Apostasy, it says here, the Holy Spirit speaks openly and prophetically latter times. This term denotes the period of time between the first coming and the second coming. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart. That's 4:1. Latter times denotes the period of time between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. And you can go back through like Acts 2:17 and Hebrews and John 2:16 or 2:18, 1 John 2:18. And he talks about when they depart from the faith, they will apostatize. That is, they deny the essential doctrines of Christianity. And how do they get into that to where they begin to deny the very basic foundation of our Constitution, as somebody would say? But they deny it. Deceiving spirits. The false teachers are teaching doctrines that are inspired by Satan. They may even lead astray. Listen to this. Careless leaders. If the enemy can come in and take over the leader and get them going down the path of what he's got, the enemy, Satan, he's believing the others will follow him. You take the leader and the rest will follow, right? That's why it's like, when I read that, it's like, and this is just in the teaching aspects of footnotes, but false teachers, they even may lead astray careless pastors. John 8:44 says this. Okay, Jesus says to them, if God were in John 8:42, this is talking about Abraham's seed and Satan. Jesus says to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and come from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Verse 43, John 8:43. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him, the devil. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar, and he is what? The father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, do not hear, because you are not of God. He who is of God hears his word. Amen? You've got to be of God to hear God's word. You've got to be, what? Part of the family. You've got to be part of his kingdom to hear his words and to know that it is that of who? God. 1 John 4. I'm going to go back there real quick. 1 John 4, 1 through 6. The spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John, 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but what? Test the spirits, whether they are of what? Of God. So we are to test these things. Don't just take someone's word for it that they speak over you. I've got all kinds of, well, not all kinds, I can't say that, but I do have a few pages of some prophecies and things that have come across my path. But when I went to certain places to go to these meetings or whatever you want to call it, I wasn't going there to get a word. Sometimes people run to churches and events to get a word. Sit here on the front row. God will speak to you right there. Sit on your front porch. Sit under the maple tree outside. God will speak to you right there. though they are of God, because many false prophets have come, or many false prophets have gone out into the world. But this you know, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Oh, Father. Talks about the Antichrist has already come. And you just go back through, kind of looking at a footnote here, and 18, little children, and this is 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many, oh, we always thought there was just one. Many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. Now, maybe from the beginning to the end till now, there's ones coming, still coming. Today, you can probably talk to all kinds of people, and you could probably come up with, I don't know, half a dozen or more names of what people think. That guy's an Antichrist, you know, but what they're believing, what they're projecting. The last hour was introduced by the first coming of Christ. At that end of that period, the one known as the Antichrist will come, but there are already many such persons at work in the world. John identifies other Antichrists as the heretics. Heretics, they are the deceitful, destructive, divisive believers. We've got those going around today. Heretics who withdraw from the church. Their withdrawal is evidence that they never really shared in life and fellowship of the church. There's a lot to be cautious of. And it's getting crazier as the events go on, don't they? But those that are of God know God's word. Those that are of Him will hear Him and obey Him and follow Him. But just be aware of those that are out there. And I think some of these false religions and some of these, I don't say false religions, but you get into where it's so many rules, regulations, and mandates and this and that, and then you get to the point where if the enemy can deceive the pastor and get that whole group going this way, there's some major organizationals out there of religious, of denominations that have split, man. They have split majorly. And I think one of the splits that's going the way of the world is probably being deceived by, who do you think? God or Satan? Satan. There's the other part of that same denomination that's adhering to the foundation of God. And they're saying, we're not going to have any part of that. This is totally ridiculous. And so they go, well, okay, we're going to go. We're going to have a big powwow. We're going to take a vote worldwide. And some will be called this now, and some will be called that. So there's already some major divides and major denominations that 50 years ago, you would have said that. They would have said, there is no way. There's no way. These people are true to God. Listen to what's coming across their pulpit. It's trueness. It's God's word. They're preaching. 2020 comes, or 2000, 1990, 2010. All this stuff now is coming up to where we're finding that the immorality of the world has come into the church, that the church should be the pureness of what's here in this place. Not that we're perfect, but that we're showing and following and wanting to project out and stand on and confess and profess and teach and speak of this word of God that has not changed, will not change. It's going to be there until the coming of the Lord. But there's a lot of other places out there that want to take it and tear it apart and not even obey it or follow it anymore. And so we already have this shuffling of many wonderful beginnings of denominations that we could all probably easily come up with 4 or 5 or 6 that have split, and they've got different fractions out there. Our fractions, turns out to be a fraction, huh? We've got to guard ourselves. We may not be part of a denomination, but we've got to guard ourselves because we're a believers of Christ. And we're a church that preaches that of God. And the enemy doesn't like that. The enemy will like to destroy a small church just like he would like to destroy a large church. Doesn't matter to the enemy. It's like, you know, you guys have watched these commercials around the football time and all that for Allstate. Don't you like that guy? I get a kick out of that guy. He's always going to destroy something, you know. He's, what does he call himself? I can't think what he calls himself. Huh? Mayhem. Yeah, mayhem. I like, it's mayhem. But the way he gets in, distracts you. So you run up against a pole. Oh, I love that when that happens. Oh, goes into this or a stadium or whatever, you know, kids hitting, fighting, falling. Well, oh, I love that. Has people running, breaking glass in their house and TVs and everything, you know, mayhem. That ought to be a message out there, John. There's a lot of mayhem going on in this world. There's a lot of mayhem trying to get into the church. Guard it. You're part of the church. Guard it. Be in prayer for your church, your local church, the church body, this place. Not, I don't pray for the cinder blocks. You might pray for the roof because it leaks down there. But you, I'll let you just get with God on that, okay? But don't pray for the chairs and the seats and the carpet at all. Pray for the church body and what takes place here as a corporate body of heaven here on earth. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. But we can all do it together. Amen. That's what it's about. Lifting people in prayer. Being encouraged. Praying for the needs. And even though we don't see the needs answered, don't give up. Keep praying for them. And keep lifting them up. And keep encouraging. And keep being there for them. I know, Alex, you still need a car. You want one wheel or four? Can you do a unicycle? There's needs out there, but you know what? Praying, and I believe, Lord, let there be an answer coming your way at that right time, and not just something that, oh, well, it'll get me by. My God is not a God of get me by. My God is a God of I will supply your need. Over and above. Better than what you'd even expect. Oh, I loved it in Sunday school where Miles was going through some things, just reminding us of the things in the Old Testament of Moses parting the river by just a stick, you know? The axe floats to the top of the water by just putting a stick in the water, and it comes over. Just silly things that you would look at going, why in the world? How? What? And it's not bad to go out there and say, well, if the Lord speaks to you by that of the Spirit, to claim something. Not name it and claim it, but if the Spirit of God tells you something, Janice, I love you for your message on, well, it wasn't your message, but your testimony of blueberries. Janice wanted blackberries. Janice wanted blackberries, and she didn't have any. Not even a plant in her yard that year. And she prayed. And then you said, the Lord said, what color or what kind? What color? That's God of the specifics. That's God that says, I love you enough. I could just shoot anything out there and it would be a blessing. But I love you and you're mine. What do you want? It's not name it and claim it. New believer, sometimes that happens to the new believers because God is going to say, I'm going to float. I'm going to knock your socks off. And, you know, normally you sit there and say, what? Do I need to be that bold? But, I mean, that is the God that we serve. But I think he knew her heart. He said, just give me some raspberries. But see, God is a God. He creates them all. He says, Janice, you know, I've got reds, I got blue, I got black, I got... What do you want, my child? There's the key that she had that time. So get these keys and this. God speaks. And know it's when God speaks, but you come to him with a heart of just... I would be happy with whatever it is, God. And then God says, I like your heart. I'm going to go one step further. What type of a car? What color of a car? What, you know, those things happen. And God gets to that point, and that's when you know he loves you. I mean, if we've got a God that says, I can tell you on how many hairs are on your head. I say, yeah, but can you go one further? Can you tell me how many hairs are in my brush? He go, yep, I can do that too. And how about the three that fell on the floor that you didn't know? Okay, God, that's enough, that's enough. That's our God, a God of specific and right down to number, color, whatever. Oh, Jesus, I don't want religion. I don't want regulations. I don't want mandates. I just want my Jesus. I just want my God. And I want to serve him with an open heart and a heart that's expecting goodness from him. I want to share that with others and have people experience that. And you can do that, amen? Because it's not regulations, it's relation. Heavenly Father, I just thank you right now. How you love us, how you care for us. And Lord, I'm thankful that we are not a church that has gotten bogged down in rules and regulations and mandates. All we want to do is follow your word and do what you've asked us to do and to present ourselves. We'll never present ourselves spotless. That was only one. That was Jesus. But Lord, we continually come to you for cleansing. We come to you for forgiveness. But I do pray for everyone here and the children in the back and their workers, Lord, just a relationship with you in such a way that we have a one-on-one every day. Every day, Lord, with you. Because you love us enough and you care for us. And you know what, Lord? Sometimes, yeah, it is good, Lord, that you get in our business. Show us where we've erred. Show us where we kind of went the wrong direction. Bring us back in a loving, caring way, as I know you will. But we have these needs and we have this body and, oh, yes, we're low in numbers and all, but, Lord, you love this church body. Lord, you are going to provide the needs of these people. Praying for that of strength and health and resurgence of strength and vitality in our bodies, Lord. Meeting the physical needs as well, Lord, whatever that might be. I pray also relational, Lord, as husbands and wives, Lord. I pray for a richness in our relationships with our spouses, Lord. I pray for a richness in our relationships with our family, Lord, with our friends. Let us honor you and glorify you in these things that we do. And I thank you, Lord, again for the relationship that you have with me and that I have with you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen.